Ted has his hand up.
Who?
Ted.
Ted, you got 2 minutes. We cannot hear you.
Article 6 of our bylaws says that all meetings of the board of director and its committees shall be open to members and to the public. This is a committee meeting, and I don't see that we are properly announcing this meeting. It excludes the community from involvement in the radio station, which is one of the reasons why I think we are on this downward trajectory. Why can't we get our meetings announced either pre-recorded or by something written and emailed to all of the programmers who are on the air these days? It seems like this will be the death knell. And by the way, I'm not interested in running again and again for this board. I want people who step up and serve on committees to become known quantities and to run for the local station board. Hopefully we'll find some good people. But if they don't know about the meetings.
Okay, we got that, Tia. We got that. All right, the next committee.
Is this open for public comment? Because I do see the public hand up.
Or is no, we finished with public comment.
No.
But they can send us an email at lsb@kpft.org.
Okay, because she has her hand raised.
And if they go to kpftx.org, there will be a phone number if they would like to get involved. If people would like to get involved with the development and outreach committee, they can send their contact information to lsb@kpft.org, and I will be happy to get them involved in the development meeting.
Okay.
Development and outreach.
They should hear that. Okay. Moving right along.
All right. Next committee. Nobody else wants to report? Whichever committee has a report. If you don't have a report, you don't need to say anything.
Well, as a treasurer, I would like to ask when our next finance committee meeting is scheduled. I'm not the chair, but I am curious.
Adriana, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You know, the committee, I say, I think that, I don't know, but maybe 10 times, I ask all the committee members to let me know when is a good time for them to have the finance committee. The last 2 finance committees where we were discussing a bunch of things, know what we should be talking about, that was the budget. Okay? I already said it in the last meeting. I receive only 3 requests for meeting. We have 20 people in that meeting, in that committee. I received 3, you know. It's very easy. Everybody know my email? Send me your preferred date. I will put it there. But let me say it again. The finance committee need to talk about budget. That is our obligation. That is what we should be doing. No going there, keep, you know.
Right.
Beating dead horses.
Okay, so by Friday, anybody interested in the finance committee meeting, please send Adriana an email as to your preferred day of meeting. Thank you. By Friday, if she only has 3 people to decide her meeting from, she only has 3 people. The cutoff is Friday. Okay. Finance, treasurer. Did you talk to treasurer?
Madam Chair.
I'm the treasurer.
I know, but you ain't.
You know, it is not.
Oh,
you know,
and I haven't forgotten you.
I am open. I am very open to finance committee meetings. You know, I've never stated, you know, that that I'm opposed to a KPFT Finance Committee meeting. We tried to have one meeting and half the committee didn't show up, kind of rebelling against it. But I'm ready to have a Finance Committee meeting, and I'm willing to talk about the budget.
That meeting next week. All right. Somebody was talking and I didn't catch a voice. They were getting ready to say something.
Madam Chair?
Okay.
This is Sandra.
Okay, Sandra, go ahead with your report.
Thank you. I just wanted to give a quick update on the MSRC. Mm-hmm. Lydia has communicated to me that she is interviewing the four finalists that we sent forward. I have not heard an update as to potential hire. I do know that she is planning to send, Lydia is planning to send Mo from KPFW to Houston to help with the engineering. But outside of that, I have no new information to report. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That was a good report. Okay, Program Counsel.
This is Nancy. I asked for volunteers, and one volunteer volunteered. So okay. I would like to ask again to the LSB if you want to volunteer for the Program Council. We need one-third LSB listeners and one-third staff, elected by staff, and one-third is listeners from the public who are non-board, not on the board, and to be elected by the IGM and the LSB.
Okay.
So we will make a PSA for the to be announced for these elections, and I move that we have these elections at the next meeting.
Okay. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Madam Chair, okay. I have a point to make.
Yes, Dwayne.
Madam Chair, it's just knowing Nancy's diligence and appreciating it. We're in November now. To have an election for, but it's just for consideration. To have an election,
can you do me a favor? Can you get closer to your mic?
Okay. To have an election scheduled for late November, and we will be choosing new members of committees for 2021. I think it would be more prudent to postpone such action. And also, I would want to put forth a motion that each category be limited to three individuals, because what I see happening is five or six or seven program of people from the listeners want to be on it. Three from programmers want to be on it. And you're going to have this imbalance if you don't limit to get to the 33%. Oh, so I see some problems here.
Yeah, that is a point. That's a good point.
Okay. Just for consideration. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Nancy, is that amenable to you?
Well, the mandate from the PMB says one-third staff, one-third LSB, one-third from the public. So it doesn't matter. If she wants three, there'll be 333, or it'll be 444.
No,
and that's what he was saying.
Well, that's what the mandate is. It's a fraction, one-third.
That's what he's saying. So if you get three, members from the LSB, it can be no more than three members are from the staff. It can be no more than three members from the public. That's 333. That's what he's saying.
Ted had his hand up
again. Huh?
Ted had his hand up again.
Thank you, Ted. Council. Can we move to the next? Nancy, I think that you should make a PSA so that it can be played to get the public's interest. And get that PSA to, who's in charge of that? Bobby?
Yes.
So it can be done.
So, So I want to ask the LSB, when do you want to have this election, December or January?
I think we got a lot of elections in December, so I would say January. Because remember, next month we have to elect, y'all have to elect 4 new people.
officers of the LSB.
4 new officers of the LSB. No, that's going to be long. Is that a good idea, Nancy?
Oh, it's up to the LSB.
Bill for the stack.
Bill.
Well, just remember, we elect PMB directors in January, and that usually takes most of a whole meeting.
Oh, my gosh.
I forgot about that. Not every station spends that much time with Q&A of every candidate, and I don't think that's needed because we know each other, but that's what we've been doing.
Okay, so why don't we just do it like this? Tentatively, we'll schedule it for December. If we don't have time, we're going to do it in January. Okay?
Yeah, I like that. It's less work on December, because in January you're going to have to do the PMB directors and the PMB committees, so it takes a lot of time. One time we took 6 hours.
I have a question.
Dwayne, what's up with your mic? I can barely hear you.
I'm a bit away.
Got it.
Trying to triple task, so I'm guilty.
Okay, that's cool.
That's the problem with Zoom, you know? We're not in person, so I try to do 2 or 3 things. Nevertheless, I'm concerned that while the LSB may be having its way to do it, and frankly, we can vote by email, frankly.
That's true.
With maybe Terry Goodman willing to do the teller. However, I'm concerned about how we're going to utilize and how we're going to have the programmers choose and the third category. What process are we going to use for them to choose their representatives?
Okay. So what you're saying is that, Nancy, you need to come up with those processes, and we'll discuss that at the next meeting.
Process. And I have only one volunteer. Sandy volunteered. So that's Sandy and Nancy. And we need some more interest in the LSB because we're going to need more than 2 people to represent.
You'll get more after the PSA, but I'm asking for the process.
We need the process.
Well, that's what I mean, to make the process. You want to be on the committee? It's just a subcommittee to help get this going.
I need one more assignment. With all of my assignments with the PNB and the 2 committees, I'm here local. I need that like I need a hole in my head.
I'll be on the program council.
Okay, good. We have 3 now.
Okay. All right. Can we move from program council? The next person, any more committee meetings? Committee reports? Sorry, committee meetings. Okay. Judon, you up. Station manager. You've been sitting there so, you like in the middle of my screen. You just been sitting there so quietly. And you gotta unmute yourself, or Paula unmute you. Paula, can you unmute you on? Okay, there you go.
All right, I'm unmuted.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a lot to report. And discuss. I'll try to make it brief. The station, as you know, has been in crisis for some time. It is in much worse shape now. So we cannot really functionally operate from the location, from station. The mold problem has gotten extremely worse. It is visible in every part of the station, particularly on the first floor. All of the studios, the lobby, the conference room, is deeply infested with mold. The estimates that I've gotten so far for mold remediation is approximately $10,000. it may be even 15. That's to get rid of the existing mold that does not solve the source of the mold, which probably includes a leak from the roof and a air conditioning leak. So that's one issue that we don't have the funds to address. Secondly, there was a break-in at the station. I was at the station for 3 hours on Tuesday, and the station had been broken into. The window in the back of the station was broken out. Some homeless people, had broken in, were sleeping inside the station, as well as on the outside. Bobby and I were at the station for about 2 hours. The police were called. Two cars came. They apprehended at least two of the people that were in the station. Because of the, they were notified that of criminal trespass. They could have been arrested for, we found some station material in their possession. The district attorney refused to charge them for theft. We got some of the material that was taken back that was on them. There were some other things that were taken from the station that we were not able to recover. For example, the computer in the back studio, that we have three studios, the front broadcasting studio, the studio in the middle, which is for the second digital station, and then the third studio, which was the production studio, is the production studio. That computer was stolen. We have not recovered that. The window in the hallway was broken out. Able to get one of the board members. Let me get my notes. He was on the call earlier, and so we put plywood on the outside. We're going to do it also on the inside, put it with screws as opposed to nails, provide some temporary security for the building. Bobby was up there for about 3 or 4 hours. And so he took the microphones, what equipment that could have been stolen due to the window. So they came in the window, opened the back door, which does not have a deadbolt lock, and came and slept and stole whatever they could steal. It appears that the second floor was secure. So Marquise's office, Robin's office, the offices on the second floor do not appear to have been bothered. The lobby, the conference room, the studio, the back studio was all pilfered. And there's mold, extensive mold. I have pictures. I will send them to all of the members of the board. so they can see how bad the mold is. So it is really, and really the staff, and by that I mean particularly Markeisha and Robin, have been going in the station and doing some work, as well as Bobby, as bad as the mold infestation is. So I want to, you know, just applaud them for continuing to go. It is not safe for any work to be done inside the studio because of the extensive mold infestation. And again, I will send pictures to all of the members of the LSB. So the police essentially, and the DA, the police and the police officers were, frustrated that the district attorney would not charge them. The district attorney basically was saying that if we did not see them take the equipment from KPFT, even though they had it in their backpack, in their possession, he would not charge them with theft. The police officers were frustrated and angry about that. Bobby was there. We both talked to the police, you know, and I guess so the DA was basically saying, since we did not see them taking the equipment, they would not charge them, although we found it in their possession. We retrieved what we could. Obviously, some of the computer was already gone, because apparently they had done this. This was not a one-day affair. Probably occurred on at least 2 days, because I've been going to the station essentially every day or every other day, as well as Robin and Markeisha have also been going in the station as well. So that's kind of where that is. We cannot remediate the mold until we get more money. That's the and remediating the mold by a professional. It cannot be done with Clorox and no. It's that bad, and you will see it from the pictures, that in fact we're going to have to dispose of the chairs in the lobby and in the studio. There was mold on the microphones. So Bobby has put that up. It is so bad that it's going to take a professional company to remediate it. The problem is that the source of the mold, which is the roof leak and the air conditioning leak, has to be addressed. That's more money, which we, of course, don't have at this point. I am.
Oh, you froze.
Who froze? Oh.
Judon froze.
Okay. Bill for the stack when I get a chance.
There he goes.
I can pause there and take questions.
Okay, Bill first.
Okay, thank you. Well, we've been hearing about the mold since at least June. I know staff been talking about it before then, but it was recognized as a serious problem then, and we had a professional mold investigator give us a report, I believe, in June. And, you know, Rourke Smith said he would work for free. He would, you know, so that we could use his salary, the money we were paying him a salary, to address this mold problem. Why hasn't that been done? I mean, and the water leak, at least we need to prevent it from getting worse. What can we do to get whatever water leak stopped immediately before we have to tear the building down? I mean, and I feel really awful that we're having employees, staff, go into a building that we know is unsafe. They shouldn't have to do that. What can we do to get at least the water leak fixed so that that doesn't keep getting worse? And then use the money that Rourke had essentially donated to pay for the mold remediation.
All right, Judon, can you speak now?
Yeah.
Paul,
he's speaking.
Okay.
Who said that they would remediate the mold for free?
Rourke Smith agreed to stop taking a salary during the summer. I think it was in July, so that the money that we were paying him could be used for the mold remediation and other, you know, facilities needs.
Well, the mold, I'm not really aware of that. You know, our meetings have been somewhat, difficult to translate. We don't have minutes. The mold is much, much worse. And again, I will send pictures to everybody, but if anybody is, and we have operating funds through the month of December with our current budget, there is no, so in other words, through January of 2021. So there is no other money to do anything at the station at this point in time. However, I am developing a proposal that will show the mold problem, the foundation problem, the electrical problems, along with the assessments, bids, estimates from the professional companies, a total package for all of the issues related to the physical structure of the board. So we can provide that to prospective major donors, and I have some in mind, that we can then submit and essentially, like a capital campaign, raise the money to address those problems. And I expect to do that within the next week to 10 days.
Okay, I don't remember who was next, but I have a question, and I think this is what everybody, the Rort question. So, have you guys been paying Rort a salary for the last 2 months?
Rort has been, Marquise is supposed to be on the line. Rort actually was sick, and I think
Marquise.
Rort was ill. Marquise, are you there?
Paul, is Marquise on the line?
I don't see her name.
Okay, I talked with her earlier. She was going to be on the line. You know, we had this technical problem at the beginning of the meeting, so I don't know what happened after that. It took me a while to get back on.
Madam Chair, Dwayne Lark to the stack.
Okay, Dwayne, you can go ahead because I don't know who else.
Lyndon to the stack.
Okay, hold on. Dwayne, Lyndon, who else?
I was on the stack.
Who was I?
Susie.
Susie, got it. Susie, can Susie go first?
Yes, she was.
Thank you. And then Dwayne and then Lyndon. Go ahead, Susie.
I have a question for Judon. Because of the break-in, do we have any insurance to cover any of the equipment that was stolen that hasn't been returned?
From what I understand, we do have insurance. It is through the Pacifica Foundation, and the deductible for the whatever the insurance covers is significant. I mean, it's, in other words, it's not like a $500 or $1,500 deductible, and of course, we don't have money for that. We will pursue that, but that does not appear to be, at first evaluation, a solution.
What is the value of the items that were stolen that have not been recovered?
Bobby has to do that. We're still, he has secured the equipment that was there, and we have to get together and see what needs to be done equipment-wise. Our first objective was to secure the building so we didn't have anything else stolen.
I think that we need to know exact amount, the value of the items that haven't been replaced, and if we could get an idea, the LSB could get an idea of what the insurance covers and what the deductible is?
Yeah, I will get that from Bobby and Marquisha, and I'll provide it in the written notes that I'm going to send to the board.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay, Dwayne.
Teresa for the staff.
Okay, let me give some professional advice relative to Susie's question. As a licensed insurance agent in this state for 37 years.
Wayne, I can't hear you.
Okay, as a licensed insurance agent for 37 years in this state, both property and casualty as well as...
I still can't hear you.
Dwayne is in... I don't know what to say, but he's...
Am I the only one that can't hear him?
Yeah, I can barely hear him, but he can't talk any louder.
Well, can you turn my volume up a little bit?
Please.
Paula, can you turn his volume
up? I can't turn your volume up.
Oh, well. This is the best I got, then. What I'm basically saying is, 37 years, normally people say I'm screaming, so this is quite a different experience for me. But 37 years in the business of insurance, I would caution Pacifica to file any type of claim. From what I gather, would probably be less than $1,500 to $2,000, because we don't have a whole lot worth in that building that they can move. And the reason I say that is I'm surprised that the insurance company was insuring it, that building and anything else, as old as decrepit as it is. So we're going to let the sleeping dogs lie with respect to any insurance that we have in force. I would say this, and I know that it's out in the diaspora, but if we do have fire insurance, if we do have other casualty insurance and something happened in the building, we're probably going to get a lot more in insurance return than what it's worth. Certainly us trying to repair it, I think most constructors would tell you that you've gotten a whole lot of good out of that 1940 building. Now, having said that, I think if anything, LSB members ought to commit, since the money probably is not in the budget, to come up with some fundraiser to replace some of whatever that equipment. But I also want to ask Judon. Judon, were you aware? Did Rock send you an email or contact you to say that he would forego his salary in order for that money to go toward remediation?
No, I've not gotten.
So this is another one of Bill Crow's knowledgeable and having access to information and then throw it on you.
Sandy, for the stack.
You absolutely have no knowledge of what's going
on. Yeah, no one has told me that. This is the first I heard that.
Madam Chair, you did hear Sammy ask for the stacks.
I got it.
But I'm still going to acknowledge to make sure you did hear him, okay? I understand when I speak, a whole lot of folks want to talk after that. But here's the deal. You can't forego a person's salary by law. Some of you may not be familiar with employment law. You just can't stop paying somebody because they say stop paying. You need to get a written agreement, just like we have a written agreement with Roy. When we start paying him, we need to have a written agreement on file that he now does not want to honor that contract. So be very careful with that carrot.
Yep.
And lastly, Judon, I want to ask you if, upon your professional opinion, that you have, Lydia told me as a vice chair of the national board, when the three members on this call from the national board, who we sent up three and sent up me, they voted against my motion to ask that KPFT do not. In fact, the Treasury also voted against the motion at the National Finance Committee. So I'm just saying all this because it seemed to be hypocrisy to me, because I asked and put forth a motion that we be able to forego our little $15,000 or $20,000, whatever our assessment is, for a national contribution each month. And that we would be able to take care of this remediation and any other thing that Bill and others have been hopping on for you to come up with the money to do it. And the budget and the donations have been going down 10, 15 years before you ever got here. Are you aware that there was a effort on behalf of the other three members of this board, who are the national board members that voted down being able to give you the money in order to remediate these things? I know you don't know that.
No, I'm not.
So the rest of the members would know this hypocrisy that's going on.
Hmm. Bill Crozier for the stack, and I, a personal point of personal privilege. Sure. There's so many misstatements there, and I was attacked personally. Okay, I'd like to say something.
No, I'm not. Because I know he's gonna come and lie and step on my statement. Oh. But the fact of the matter is that three members of this body and Teresa Allen at the National Finance Committee. Would not allow other members of the national board and other members of the committee to
All right, hold on, Dwayne.
What's going on?
Everybody needs to stop mumbling. Paula, if you hear all this chatter that I'm hearing, mute everybody. Yeah. Cause I can't even hear what Dwayne is already in a bad situation where I can hardly hear him and everybody else can hardly hear him, but everybody else is now talking.
I can hear him now.
You hear me. Dwayne is not talking. Okay, Lyndon. Lyndon.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. First, I'm sure that Judon is aware of what the member is talking about, since the member is about the third time he's repeated the story. And we are now 87,000 in arrears on our central services. So whether you got permission or not, we have been paying on a regular basis anyway. So that's old story repeated time after time after time. Now, on this mold issue, you're telling us that the problem has become extremely worse and now it's a $10,000 estimate. Well, we've been hearing this for 5 months now. Been hearing the same report. Got a roof problem, got AC leaks, maybe, and we got an estimate. Now the estimate's $10,000. I think last month the estimate was $5,000. You were going to send us a copy of that estimate. You never did. It has never arrived. You were going to send pictures before. You never did. Now, September 22nd, we're going to go forward with the board. You were going to forward estimates to the board for estimates of $7,000 and $10,000 plus. We never got those. I sent an email asking for those. I sent the email to the entire LSB and to you. We never got anything. Nobody on the LSB bothered even talking about it. So I'm, you know, if things have gotten this extremely worse, I hold you responsible personally. I think it is your fault. You know, you said you'd send us pictures before. You did not. You said you'd send us estimates before at least four times and you did not. So I just don't believe.
Adriana for the stack.
Got you. Teresa.
I think Bill was before me.
No.
Teresa. Can I respond?
He was, but
I had a point of personal privilege.
I don't like being called a liar, Teresa. And when I'm sitting right here writing it down.
Maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed it when he asked to be put on the stack. Anyway, I'll tell you this. You know, I've been accused of things several times by Dwayne Lark. Yes, as Lyndon Foley said, we're $87,000 behind paying central services and have in some instances have not paid the Pacifica Archives. When we get premiums from the Pacifica Archives and we use those premiums to generate income to pay our salaries and to pay for various things at the station, I think that Pacifica Archives needs to be paid. And I think central services needs to be paid so we can have our audits and possibly get CPB money. And I think it's a very bad approach to our problems to just say, okay, well, let's get permission on the national level that we don't pay our bills. Somehow we find enough, you know, money to pay
the salary of the few people that we have. We wouldn't hire somebody. We asked somebody that applied to do it for free and they wouldn't. So we don't have anybody to call up lapsed donors. We talk about how we have a leak in the air conditioning. Do we have an estimate? Has anybody even looked at the air conditioning unit? If I had a leaking air conditioning unit that was causing stains in my ceiling, it wouldn't take me but 2 days to get somebody to look at it. We did have somebody come to the station and they were told that the general manager didn't have the keys to let them into the right rooms to get the estimate. You know, we've tested a number of times to say that we have mold. Yes, we have. Okay, I agree. We probably have mold by now. I'm not doubting that. But why do we not have the estimates to make the repairs to stop the water leaks, which is supposedly causing this mold? And I would also like to know if somebody's messing with the temperature in the station. Is that why the mold is growing so fast? Because we've turned off the air conditioning? A tight building that all the windows and doors are closed and no air conditioning. Is that why the mold is growing? I mean, I don't know who has stewardship, who is caring for this building. As treasurer, I am very concerned about it. And I see, and at our national finance committee meetings, I see Dwayne Lark asking that we not have to pay our bills. And I've wanted to have a budget that included making these repairs. But that's not in the budget that's come from our interim general manager and our business manager. That was not in the budget. Somehow wasn't even in the budget.
Anything else?
Well, do we have an estimate? Do we have a specific estimate from anyone to repair the supposed leak from the air conditioning unit? Yes or no?
I don't know the answer to that one.
Well, does our interim general manager have it? Because he was the one that was going to get it. He's mentioning that we have a problem.
Point of personal privilege.
Oh, Lord. Yes, Dwayne.
Well, first off, this member and the previous member are pointing out.
We can't hear you, Dwayne.
Okay. These members keep throwing out that I asked that we don't pay our bills. I think that's just outright ridiculous when we pay tens of bills every month. They just sound ridiculous. And I just don't want open-minded people who are listening to this to believe that it's not Trumpism. For instance, he talks about the $87,000 as if there have been no payments made, which is ridiculous. And I don't want you to believe that. He leaves that out. He also leaves out that KPFT has the lowest arrears. There are some stations that have $250,000 arrears when you compare it to KPFT. And it has everything to do with the associated monies that come in. That station that have $250,000 in arrears or more bring in $1.6 or $1.8 million. The other one that may have $160,000 in arrears, double of KPFT's, have a double of KPFT's budget. So they throw out these numbers and give you the impression that Judon and Markeisha isn't paying any bills, isn't doing anything. And that is Trumpism at its best. The false information, false news, creating a narrative that isn't correct and isn't fair and isn't complete. But nevertheless, I think the bottom line is all of these folk who talk about what we're not doing, and you ask them, including when we look at these numbers that Robin's going to send us, the programmers are the ones who are responsible for raising money primarily. That's the reason they have the privilege of being on the air. And that's why we call it phone drives. And their jobs have been down. They've been producing less and less and less and less. And all Bill Crozier and Teresa and the others talk about is what Judon isn't raising. But they absolutely raise no finger on the fact that for the last 10 years consistently, the program has been in place for over 10 years, most have had a declination of their donations and then put it at the feet of the IGM.
Okay. Dwayne. Yes. Trump at thank you. Thank you. Sandy. And Sandy.
Yeah,
and the
thank
next
you.
Three people. Please. Yes, straight
I'll
to the point.
Straight all right. To the point. I have a couple of things. First, Rourke is a real close friend of mine. I speak to him frequently. He is not being paid. He hasn't been paid since, I think, July. He asked Markeisha about the situation. Markeisha said, you got to call corporate. And that was her response. He was sick. He had COVID, but he recovered weeks ago and is continuing to produce on a limited basis, not on the 5-day-a-week basis that he was before. And he was being paid by the hour for that, I believe. Because it's impossible to keep up a 3-hour show every
point
day.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
We cannot talk about personnel. Please.
Okay. All right.
We don't understand.
Thank you.
We want more lawsuits. More lawsuits. Is it
enough? Thank you, Adriana. Thank you.
Is it enough lawsuits?
Okay. I just wanted to interject. That Rourke
then don't use name of personnel. You should know better.
It was brought up by others and you didn't intercede.
You should know
them.
Better.
Speaking,
you should
you
know
think
better.
You can pass judgment.
All right, Bill.
Point two,
Bill.
Wait, I'm not done, please. Point two, according to what Bill Crozier said, yes, we were promised estimates and photos at the end of last meeting. They were supposed to go out. They weren't there. We need to get the building open. We need to get live from home. It's been the same issue now for months. Nothing is being done, being put forward. We get verbiage. We get speeches, but no action. Now, who is the steward here? I think it's an interim general manager. And we need to get these things corrected. If we have money to pay you and pay the other members of staff, what needs to come first is the volunteer community and what goes on the airwaves and cleaning up that building, even if it means foregoing or reducing salaries in the interim. Thank you very much.
Bill.
Okay. I think Sandy basically covered what I was going to say. I don't want to go into details, but I just point out that Dwayne's, you know, I'm tired of Dwayne's personal attacks and excuses.
I'm tired of everybody's personal
thank you.
Attacks. Trust me. Adriana.
Well, you might be tired of it, but it ain't gonna stop.
Adriana.
Can you hear me, Madam Chair?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. The first thing, I think that, again, this is the perfect proof of what we hear every time that we talk about finances. We start pointing fingers, we start trying to blame this or that, and that doesn't solve anything. But basically, if you want to say all of that, I don't hear anybody mentioning that according to the lawsuit that was brought for some of you trying to break the foundation cost KPFT $28,000. Imagine all the repairs that we could do with that $28,000 that we already paid for. Okay? What I'm saying is, please stop. Look, solution. Try to see if we can get a solution. Stop trying to blame everybody and see who can we blame. Can we move forward? Can we know that every time board members have no excuses to talk about personnel in open meetings because we know that means liability for the foundation. I know. Some of you maybe don't care, but it's your obligation. It's a dereliction of duty when you talk and you bring things that could mean liability for this foundation. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. Anybody else?
Nancy.
Go ahead.
Yes,
Mike, please. Mike, the stack.
Got you, Mike. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes. I just wanted to, I think Lyndon did not hear correctly about pictures. Judon said he would send pictures of the station, like now, recent pictures, and Lyndon was complaining, that we have not received any pictures, but Judon just said tonight that he was going to send pictures of the mold. So.
Lyndon's for the sack or personal,
Lyndon's
privilege. You don't speak for me.
No, I was correcting what you said.
No, you did not correct. You went off and told somebody else.
Stop.
Can I speak when without Lyndon interrupting like that?
Hey, Madam Chair.
Teresa, I don't need your interruption either. I'd like you to pay back that that interest you got from the friendly loan, that $3,500 plus.
Okay, Mike.
Give that
Mike.
Back.
Mike.
Okay, this is a question for Judon Boney. I just want to know that we have security cameras at the station, and when the station was broken in, we have cameras on the outside and the inside. Did it record anything, the faces or the individuals and the items that were stolen, so we could use that in court?
This probably won't even get to court. Probably won't.
Yes, we do. Bobby is reviewing them. He reviewed some of the footage at the station while the police were there, which is why we were able to identify the two people who were apprehended at the station in the area from the video. And he is reviewing more of it. There were a number of things said about me which aren't true. I'm not going to take it personally. But the process by which we try to address these things, to me seems like, you know, I'm a big boy. I don't mind taking the attack, but I don't like people lying about me and what I'm doing. So here's the bottom line. The issues related to mold inspections, for example, when we have somebody to do a mold evaluation, they take samples. The samples are sent to a lab. The lab analyzes the samples and says, you got this kind of mold, that much mold, et cetera, with a written report. That costs money. That's not free. The second evaluation, and Markeisha has the mold reports. I asked Markeisha to be on the call tonight. She was with the conference call earlier. I don't know what happened, but I'm sure she's willing to provide that. I will send it to everybody. The second evaluation that we did, which was not as extensive, I'm paying for that out of my pocket because I simply wanted to get a second evaluation. I didn't know we had a more extensive one that was paid for by KPFT. The other issue with regard to the roof, in order to really address these issues, you hit up the wall, you're tearing out the sheetrock and looking for the source of the leaks. That's more money, which we do not have, which is why that has not been done. So, you know, I don't want to just go on and on because I understand other people that have questions. But some of the things that have been said simply aren't true.
Okay. Can we finish with the IGM report?
This is Nancy.
And Teresa.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Maybe I can speak later. It's about the things that I put on the agenda. So I think that's not,
No, that has nothing to do with IGM.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead and take Teresa.
Okay. Teresa.
I'm not interested in any more evaluation of the mold. I am interested in a bid to repair the AC if that is causing the problem. And this has come up at least four times. It's come up at development, it's come up at finance, and it's come up at LSB meetings during the report. Could you please send us the bid for repairing the air conditioning leak? And could you please send us the bid for repairing the roof if there is a leak in the roof that's causing the problem? Could you please send us those bids right away? Also, at least four times.
I will say.
Okay. Okay. Also, at least four times.
I will send.
I didn't hear what he said.
I didn't either.
Okay. Also, at least four times, we have been told that a letter would be going out to big donors, and I'd like to see that letter, and I'd like to know whether it's generated any money. It was discussed first back in December, but then it was mentioned several times in the spring, and it was mentioned several times during the summer, and I'm wondering if that letter has ever gone out. Because it's a source of income.
Robin has sent out, in my opinion, a very good solicitation letter to major donors.
And you said you were going to follow up with calls to them? Did that generate any money?
I think what is happening is that the way our meetings are conducted and what appears to be other agendas from some of the people participating is to assert some things which are not true, which I cannot respond to on the spot, and list five or six things, and then we can't get to the bottom line. So I don't want to participate in that or the critique or the criticism and try to get this work done, which is raising money and getting the estimates. By the way, for the record, the mold problem has existed for several years, not 1 year. The difficulty in raising money is that we're in the midst of a patient, all of the nonprofits, to raise money now. We have the pandemic problem, which is also exacerbating everything. So to say that the staff didn't do this, the staff didn't do that, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, you need to understand the conditions that we're operating in if you're trying to be honest and focus on what it is that we can do together to address these issues.
Do you think you can send me the estimates to repair the AC and the roof?
We don't have an estimate to repair the AC and the roof. What I have found with all of the contracts, you have to pay for that. If nobody's running and rushing over to KPFT to solve KPFT's problems. And as I said earlier, to really do some of these assessments, you have to open up the sheetrock and look to try to find the source of these issues. That costs money. That creates another issue that also costs money. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to kind of understand, board members, that this is not a simple, well, let's get a plumber to come out and stop the leak from the faucet. That is not what it is. When you see the pictures, which I will send to, in fact, all of the information that I'm sending out, my letter, my assessment, my recommendations, the professional assessment, I'm going to send it to everybody on the board as well as everybody on the staff. So everybody will have the same information at the same time.
And I do agree with you, Dr. Judon Boni. As a FEMA inspector, and I have been working for FEMA probably for the last 5 years in hurricane disasters, when you have mold, you cannot just go in and wipe it down with Clorox and move about. You have to actually tear out sheetrock to find the issue in order for it to be repaired. Mold, once you breathe it in, it's not a good thing. You do not want to have anyone in those buildings where there is mold. That's just the bottom line, because you're talking about hazard. You're talking about health issues. And so I strongly suggest that Robin and Markeisha not even be in the building, because you are actually breathing in.
And we don't have the money.
Yeah.
So let's look at the
process.
This is Susie. I understand. I'm going through the same thing with mold since July, and you have to have the money up front, and it's not cheap. Yeah. And if we can't give him the money, then he can't go ahead with that.
Lyndon for the stack.
And for someone to say that they're going to work free, I would like to see that happen. I want to see that happen.
They will not even come out and do an estimate.
Lyndon for the stack.
Lyndon, I got you.
Were either of those two recognized?
Paula was still speaking when you said Lyndon for the stack. And when
I didn't hear her recognized.
Yeah, I said Lyndon, I got you. Go ahead.
I think Sandy's ahead of me.
Thank you. Just very quickly, I've emailed everybody something from a gentleman named Clean Air, Ron Smith, who did get in the building with a sniffer, did lab analysis. The type of mold that's there is a fairly common type of mold, according to the lab reports. That doesn't mean that I put eyes on it or that's the whole truth, but that's what we know from what has been inspected and lab samples that have been taken. So this board, you have that now. He tells me that with some additions to our air conditioning ductwork, some kind of air injection system, and a good cleaning, which he said, again, it's a common type of mold, not a black mold or anything like that. He said that it is an irritant, a mild irritant. You don't want to be around it for too long. But in the world of mold, this seems to be a fairly benign strain, thankfully, as we do have staff in the building. Thank you.